Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing this week?
Keeping busy, keeping warm.
Nice, even keel temperatures, not too crazy. And we're in the midst of that summer craziness. I know everybody's, it takes a little longer to get signatures when people are off on all of these vacations. So, but we're still getting it done over here. And we have with us working on his end of stuff, Mr. Tom Coyne, our in-house lending specialist. Tom, how are you?
You know, I'm fantastic, Lance. As soon as we get done with the show, I'm heading down to Pendleton. We got the Zac Brown concert today, so I'm excited. Going to have some fun.
You are going to have some fun for sure. Well, I played a little bit last week, so I'm going to be here catching up.
Okay, so, we're good. You need to do that.
Absolutely, for sure. But like I say, things have really been cranking away. Now, we always like to start off with our celebrity real estate story, and occasionally that comes with a little tie here to Richland. So our celebrity real estate story this week, coming right off of Zillow.com, is we have once again our hometown Hope Solo listing her Lakeside Pacific Northwest Northwest Estate. So she has a gorgeous home over on Lake Washington in Kirkland with a four-car detached garage shop and its own tennis sports court.
Wow.
Absolutely.
No soccer field or anything?
No soccer field. It looks
maybe
like
that's the next house.
What I could see. So apparently, you know, maybe she doesn't want to have to worry about having any real estate when she's in Rio at the Olympics.
I could see
so
that.
Let's just dump the house, go to the Olympics and, you know, win a gold and then come back and buy a new one.
I like it.
So kind of interesting to pull up those headlines and then see somebody that, you know, that was at Richland and from the hometown that is here and her family and stuff. So hopefully she gets that thing knocked out and sold, and even more so goes over there and brings back a gold.
What's the price on that one?
Wins a gold. That one is coming in at $1.85 million.
You know, that's kind of modest for the type of celebrity real estate stories we usually hear here.
It is kind of modest. It is a gorgeous home, though, and it is you know, and I think what you get in that Seattle market versus some of that LA, New York and celebrity stuff we do, I mean, this place is fantastic. So I was actually surprised by the price versus what you were getting from some of the stories we hear about that. But great home. And of course, obviously, we'll be rooting for her in the Olympics for sure.
And if any of our listeners are interested in getting pre-approved for that house, we do offer jumbo financing, just 15% down.
Fan.
Little plug there.
Absolutely fantastic. So one of the things Tom and I talked about before the show, and that we were looking ahead, and we're going to have some guests the next couple shows come on and talk to us about some different things. So I wanted to get back to one of the real core basics that we don't often get to talk about on the show. And that was, number one, how do I know when I'm ready to buy a house? We talk a lot about the market and the mechanics and what goes into that and the actual process itself. But sometimes we forget about people saying, when is the right time to buy? And should I be thinking about that, especially if you're a first-time home buyer? So the number one thing that comes up when you go to research this topic and you talk to realtors and people in the industry, and that is, do you have your financial house in order? Before you're ready to buy, what does your personal financial situation look like? And one of kind of the benchmarks that they like to use if people want to be very, very comfortable in what they're doing is, have you saved at least 10% for a down payment? Now, there's a lot of programs out there, and you can get in with lower amounts and start building equity faster. But if you really want to be in that solid foundation situation, have you saved 10% up for that down payment? Because that'll help give you the buffer you need to have some comfortability. It'll also, Tom's going to talk a little bit later in the show, it'll affect the amount of interest rate that you're getting and some of that stuff. So really taking a look at, do I have the right amount of savings in place? Also, on top of that 10% down payment, you're going to be looking at an additional 2 to 2.5% in closing costs over and above that. So if you're looking at a $150,000 house, it's not just the $15,000 for the down payment, but you're looking at potentially another $3,500 to $4,000 in closing costs that you're also going to want to have available. So really having that down payment nest egg ready to go is a big, big thing. The next thing that I like to bring up to people along that same lines is it's not just that down payment. It's not just that initial purchase of the house, but it's looking at what are some of the additional costs in home ownership that we don't always think about when we're renting. And so you need to factor some things into that. Number one that comes up that surprises people a lot is looking at lawn care and exterior maintenance. So you're either going to have to buy a lawnmower and buy that equipment to do it yourself, which could be $500 to $1,000 right off the bat, or depending on the size of your lawn, or you're going to have to look at hiring somebody between $25 and $30 a week. So you're looking at a payment, and if you're very sensitive to that payment amount, now you've got another $120 a month to be thinking about just for your basic exterior maintenance. So that's another one that we really want to factor into that case. The other one is a lot of times people in apartments are used to, water and sewer being included, and they don't look at what is my average water and sewer bill going to cost me when I'm looking at purchasing this house, along with trash service. And there could potentially be gas if you have gas heat there. So if you're looking at your utility bills, trash service alone plus water and sewer, you're going to be looking at another $100 to $200 per month that you might not have been thinking about otherwise. So that's one of the things that we just are always really cognizant to explain to people is you're going to have some additional costs that you might not be used to. The other thing, and this is where we point out, it's very, very important to look at, and this came up a couple times over the last week and a half, 2 weeks with people. We were looking at some homes that were $180,000 to $190,000. We're in the process. Everything looks great. We have a home inspection done, and all of the sudden comes out of the home inspection that the backside of the roof was nearing at the end of its life and was going to need to be replaced, they thought, within 6 months to a year. Well, now here we are in a situation where the market's been really good in Tri-Cities. We're looking at multiple offers, and we're looking at paying over list price, and then you get hit during the inspection that you're going to have to replace the roof. And so I wrote down in my notes, there is $6,000 to $8,000 that you might not have been expecting. If you're going to buy a house, you're going to use your $15,000, your down payment, your closing costs, and then all of a sudden, 4 months later, you're going to have to shell out another $8,000 to get the roof done. Those are big, big ticket items that you really want to be aware of. So having that conversation with yourself, the members of the transaction, your home inspector, your realtor, to really look at that and see what's going on in that situation. In this particular situation, we also were looking at a potentially an AC unit having an issue. So it's just the market doesn't always tell you what the hidden cost of the home ownership is. And so you've got a market where you've got low supply and multiple offers, and this is the perfect house. And then you look, oh my gosh, now I've got $14,000 of hidden expenses that weren't really seen, from just looking at the cover of the book. You got to kind of dig in and read into some of those pages. So hidden expenses of home ownership. That was the second thing that we're really, really counseling our buyers on when we're saying, are you ready to buy? The next thing that pops up that we talk about a lot, and that is, how long do you plan to stick around? Now, in the last year or two in the Tri-Cities market, this has not been as big of an issue. But prior to that 18 months, we've talked about this on the radio show before. And in fact, we've even done entire shows about it because it's such a big topic. And that is, if something happens with a job transfer or you don't like the school district you're in and you need to move, knowing how long you're going to be in the house and average advice to recover the costs of the hidden cost of the home ownership, the transfer costs of reselling, is in general terms, we've always given the advice that you want to be in a house for 3 to 4 years before you break even on some of those transactional costs. So to need to move or resell prior to 3 to 4 years is usually going to be a situation where it might actually cost you money at closing if there wasn't enough equity put down in the beginning. So trying to know how long you're going to be in an area makes a big difference. I mean, I even look back, you know, on some of the purchases, you know, we made personally in our history and say, gosh, you know, I bought that house when I didn't have kids. But then when I did have kids, I decided, oh, man, there's a different school district that I want to go to. Or I want to be, you know, it seemed like a great idea to be far away from your parents. But then when you want help babysitting, you want to move closer to them. So there's all of these situations that pop up that if you're thinking a little bit ahead or talking through these situations with your realtor, it can help you make that decision. So you're not purchasing and then, oh, man, I should have thought about this, and then having to move and lose some equity in that transactional cost. So those are the first three that I wrote down, and just deciding, am I ready to make this decision? And we meet with first-time home buyers all the time and people that need to make some changes and tweaks here. And we have those consultation meetings with people. In fact, I was talking to my inside sales agent at my office this morning, and he said, gosh, there's two or three people that I talked to 12 to 14 months ago. They're back, they're pre-approved, they've saved, and they're ready to go. And so I love seeing that we have people in our database coming back from, you know, 12 to 14 months that are now ready to buy. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk with Tom a little bit about what people need to have in order to qualify for the mortgages that we've been talking about, and get his insight about getting people ready to buy.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been taking a little bit of a step back in the process today and just having a general discussion about what makes somebody ready to buy. We went over some of the factors of when is that home ownership right for you, because sometimes when you're renting, you pay your rent each month, and a lot of that maintenance costs and mortgage and everything else that goes along with the home ownership, that falls on the landlord. And so it's hard to determine sometimes, when is it beneficial for me to drop the $1,300 a month rental payment and then change that over to a mortgage? And what are some of the additional costs that I'll be looking at? So one of the first steps in that process, and we talked about it before the break, is that is really knowing financially from your financial house when you're ready to buy. And that analysis, a lot of that comes down to working with your lender on getting a mortgage and what you need to have ready. So I'll turn it over to Tom so he can kind of go over what you're going to need to have and what helps make that process go better on his end.
Yeah, you know, Lance, you talked before the break about trying to save up for 10% down. And I just absolutely love seeing when I have someone come in and they have 10, 15, 20% down payment saved up. because it should be no surprise to anybody that the more you put down, the less risk you're going to be looked at by the bank, and you're going to get better financing terms. And the better financing terms, you're more the more buying power you have, and the lower the monthly payment, the lower interest rate. So having a large down payment, 5, 10%, 20% down, really is going to put you in a good spot. So you obviously can't just save up that money overnight. It takes time and planning and creating a budget. So it's really good to sit down and think about your situation, look at your financial picture, and then make a plan so that when that time comes, when you're ready to make that move, all the steps are going to fall in place for you, and you're going to put yourself in a good situation to get a great loan. But I want to talk about the process of getting pre-approved. So what we generally always do is have people go on our website, and that's just TomCoinHomeLoans.com. There's going to be an apply now button on there. You click on that apply now button. It'll take you 5-10 minutes to fill out a loan application. And as soon as you're done, that gets emailed over to us. Now, we have our clients fill out the application online ahead of time for a couple of reasons. One is simple. They're inputting their information. So you don't have to worry about them telling me and I type in the wrong social or getting mistakes. They give us all their information. But the most important thing is once I see their application, I'll be able to call them and tell them exactly what I need them to bring in for their appointment. So they fill out their application. We get back in touch, ask some basic questions. How much are you looking to spend on a home? How much of a down payment are you hoping for? Well, what loan term are you thinking? And probably the most important question is, what's an affordable monthly payment for you? Everybody has an idea of what they want to spend per month on a house. And they may say, I want an $800 payment and I'm looking at $200,000 houses. Well, those two numbers don't line up. So we have to really look at, okay, what's going to be a comfortable payment for you? And then align them with what sales price they should be shopping for. But once we have that talk, I'll then pretty much immediately know what's going to be the best option for the client. But I still want to present that to them. So we then set up a time to have them come by the office and have them bring in all their documentation that we requested. And we start going through their options. Now, the first thing is give them an idea exactly what to expect on their mortgage. How much of a down payment? What are closing costs going to look like? What are interest rates doing? Is there mortgage insurance? How much is the down payment? What can I expect cash to close? Really get us all on the same page so that there's no surprises. When they find the house that they're interested in and they're ready to make that offer, they'll know everything that's going to come after that and there's no surprises. But we also review all the income documentation. We generally get 1 month of pay stubs, 2 years of tax returns and W-2s, and 2 months bank statements. Now, most loan programs, pretty much all of them, you can say requires a 2-year employment history. Doesn't mean you have to be with your same employer for the last 2 years, but a new employer is okay most of the time as long as it's in this similar line of work as what you were doing before. But I'm going to look at pay stubs and I'm going to look at the year-to-date income. If you tell me you're making $5,000 a month, but your year-to-date income says you're only making $3,500 a month, then those are questions that we need to uncover. I'll then go back and look at previous year's W-2s, and maybe you're making $60,000 a year this year, but last year's W-2 only showed $50,000. We're going to ask those questions. Why? What's the difference? Are we really making $5,000? And a lot of times it's as simple as, oh yeah, I got a raise in December. But great, well, that's easy to explain and we can document that. So we uncover all these questions ahead of time before you ever get this approval letter, so that by the time you find your house, you have that approval letter in hand, we know that your loan's going to go smooth and we're going full steam ahead. And I think we've really developed a reputation in town when real estate agents see our approval letters, they know it's a good approval letter and they're not going to have any issues with financing. So that's a real value to not only the clients, but the business partners that we work with as well. We also look at your bank statements and your assets. Things we're going to look for is if we need $10,000 to close, and that's what the total down payment and closing costs are going to be, but your bank statement only says $6,000, we're going to say, well, where's the rest of the money coming from? And these are where we can try to prevent any fires from coming up down the road, if you will. So some people will say, oh, I got cash in my safe. Well, we can't document cash, and we have to document every deposit that's out of the ordinary. So if we see a $4,000 cash deposit, the bank's likely not going to use that. So we can start educating the clients on what they need to do, or maybe they're getting a gift from family. We can talk about how that process works, or pulling funds from 401k. So these are all things that we uncover right up front so that the client can get those gears moving and they find the house and everything's all ready to go. Now, once we're 100% certain everything's going to be great, we then issue that approval letter. And it's more important than ever right now to have an approval letter before you go out shopping for homes. Not only so you know what to expect on your financing, but because the market is so competitive that an offer that gets presented to a seller that doesn't have an approval letter likely won't even be taken seriously.
Tom, and that is, I mean, that's some of the best advice in this market that we can come up with. And really, that process that you went through can, I mean, be a lot less stressful if they've done what you said. So what you just described to me as I was listening to it, some of it's hard because I do it all the time every day. But what you just described to me, that process and people, I mean, they work. And right now, this time of year, we're looking at where people have vacations. And so they're like, oh, gosh, I want to get into a house. You know, I want to have found my house by, you know, by the middle of August so that we know what school district we're going to be going to and stuff. But, oh, gosh, I need to have that meeting with Tom, but I'm going out of town on a summer trip for a week next week. And then when I get back, we'll, you know, I'll be busy for 3 days and then I'll meet with Tom. Next thing you know, you're 2 weeks into it. And that's fine if you are doing this ahead of time. Mm-hmm. What happens a lot of times is people will be like, oh, gosh, there's the perfect house I just saw that I've, you know, that I've been waiting for. And now I'm not ready. And then that's when the massive amounts of stress get piled on because they got to find those pay stubs. They got to check those bank statements. Where if you're looking 2 to 3 months ahead of time and there's those deposits that you have questions about, you can talk about how to get that money in the proper position that it needs to be in, how to make sure you're ready. So one of the things I think about when I'm working with clients is if you take care of this now ahead of time and spend that 2.5 to 3 weeks, your stress level in the buying process will go way down.
Way down. Not only that, but your credit report's good for 4 months. So if we take that application and 3 months goes by, your approval is still good. And even if 6 months go by, that's okay. All we're going to do is refresh that credit report. So there's absolutely no harm in getting your approval process done well in advance of ever wanting to start looking for houses.
Yeah, that's a big, big one for sure. And another thing that too I think is important is that I always tell people is really looking at that documentation that you send. Because, you know, I know sometimes people are like, oh gosh, I got 15 pages from my lender. I didn't have time to read all of it. It said in there what my closing costs were and what I need to bring down. Those are documents you need to feel like you have time to read because there's important information in there. I know there's been a number of occasions with Tom, you know, more than, you know, 5, 6, 7 times where people have like, gosh, I have no idea what those closing costs are. And I'll be like, you know what? I saw an email, you know, that I was CC'd on, you know, with your lender, you know, 4 or 5 days ago. I think it was in there and they're like, oh gosh, I didn't have time to read through all that. Well,
you know what? I think it's a good idea is we go through
things you need to.
Yeah. We go through so much stuff at that initial consult that I could see how some, you just can't retain all of it. And it absolutely makes sense. So going home, taking the paperwork home that we go through and reviewing it again, and then following back up with any of those follow-up questions is a great idea because you're probably just not going to be able to retain it all in that first visit.
Tom, it's absolutely huge, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do that with the clients and going through that process, delivering it. It's just so much better when you have the time to get it done. So thanks for that information. That is a huge, huge one. And you actually hit on some of the points that I had said, and that was keeping your credit score in good to excellent condition. I had wrote that down on my side of the notes when I was going over the financing, was making sure you have that credit score in good or excellent condition, because that's also going to affect the type of rate that you're getting.
Yeah, pretty much every loan program out there is credit score driven, meaning the lower your credit scores, the higher your rate.
Absolutely. Good, good information. The last thing that I wanted to just touch on too is talking to an accountant about your after-tax cost of owning. Because there still are some benefits when you look at the whole picture. There is some tax cost. There are some after-tax cost of owning. There are some savings that you'll realize. There will be. There's still some deductions out there that you can take if you itemize. That your tax professional will be able to tell you exactly what those are. Also, each month, a portion of your payment is going towards principal. And so you're paying off that loan while historically real estate has held or increased value. So you're increasing with appreciation, plus you're decreasing the amount owed. It really acts for a lot of people as a forced savings plan. And I know a lot of people out there listening will be like, I don't need a forced savings plan. But statistically, when we look at the statistics, you know, across the nation, that generally when people go to retire, their largest asset is, it's like 90%, their largest asset is their home. And so, yeah, I know that when it's like 90%, that there's a lot of people that do need a forced savings plan,
you know,
and so that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I think everyone's goal out there should be to have a house paid off by the time they retire. So if you're 20 and you're buying a house, or in the 30s or 40s, look at that loan term that you're going to set on that mortgage and try to set it up so that by the time you're ready to retire, that mortgage is paid off.
And Tom, I got to tell you, with interest rates being where they've been the last couple of months, and especially the last couple of weeks, is more than ever, you know, a lot of times, you know, the people say all the time, you know, when they talk about age, that 40, you know, 40 is the new 30. Mm-hmm. Well, the 15-year mortgage is the new 30-year mortgage. I mean, it really is where you have the opportunity to have a 15-year mortgage with these rates and have those homes paid off so much faster. I mean, when you look at 15 years sooner and what you could do with that additional money for your lifestyle and for your retirement, it is absolutely incredible. So those are some of the decisions that people go through ahead of time. If you have any questions about that process, or if you think you're ready, or what you might need to do, go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. We would be glad to meet with you, have a consultation about that. On the pre-approval side, Tom, you mentioned it before, but what is the website for the pre-approval?
TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
And we will be right back here next week,
right here on News Talk 870.